Good morning and welcome to this celebration of Holy Communion on this festival of Pentecost, the 50th day of Easter. Today is the birthday of the Christian Church. The book of the Acts of the Apostles records how the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles with a sound like the rush of a mighty wind and in tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. Immediately they went forth and began to preach to the multitude of pilgrims and visitors who were in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And this event is regarded as the very beginning of the Christian Church. Today is the Sunday we commemorate what happened, the Church's birthday, Whit Sunday. And today we also mark the culmination of the 10-day prayer initiative in our Diocese of Down and Dromore, and the special preacher is the Bishop, the Right Reverend David MacLay, and we look forward to his ministry of the word later in the service. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The hymn 301, Let Every Christian Pray.
Amen.
Almighty God.
Almighty God.
To whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and in tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel, by the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Numbers, chapter 11, beginning at verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Elda and the other named Medah, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Elda and Medah are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We sing the Easter anthems.
The epistle is written in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, 295, "Come, Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove." Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be today and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is such a joy and a real privilege this morning to be able to bring this message, to be able to bring this talk to the churches across our diocese of Down Under Moor on this Pentecost Sunday. We make much in the church of Christmas, and rightly so. We make something of Holy Week and Easter, and ought to make a lot more of them. When Pentecost comes, it just about gets a mention. We sing the familiar hymn, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving us your Holy Spirit till the work on earth is done." So let's focus in this morning on who the Holy Spirit is, what his work is, and what this Sunday of Pentecost should mean to us as a church in the diocese today and in the days that lie ahead. I've woke up these past mornings with just the words of the first verse of Acts 2 in my mind, and I've been unable to move very far away from these six words, which say, "When the day of Pentecost arrived." When the day of Pentecost arrived. I want to take those words as a text for this morning. When the day of Pentecost arrived, some incredibly significant things happened. 120 disciples of Jesus were filled, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, 120 people whose characters were enriched by the experience were made more Christ-like from that time onwards. When the day of Pentecost arrived, 120 people received new gifts of speech and insight that would equip them to proclaim Christ. Peter alone would preach a sermon later that very same day where 3,000 people would become followers of Jesus. When the day of Pentecost arrived, 120 people had their hearts and the very depths of their innermost emotions set on fire with a deep, deep love for Christ and for the things of his kingdom, and with and a zeal and a love and a devotion towards Jesus and to make Jesus Christ known. They began to preach his cross. They began to proclaim his death. They began to preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They began to take the gospel into the whole known world. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the church was born, and every day tens and hundreds and indeed thousands would be added to the church as people believed in Christ, as people were converted to Christ, as men and women and whole families would give their lives to Jesus, as people would repent and believe the good news and become followers of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, it continues, it continues, it continues to this very day. Ernest Baker, in one of his books, writes this. He says, Pentecost made the apostles. Pentecost created the church. Pentecost caused the church's expansion. And he goes on, Pentecost spread Christianity throughout the whole known earth. He writes these words, the church has had a fluctuating history. It has seen many ups and downs, but the power of Pentecost has never been completely lost. A power was sent out into the world all that time ago that has never left it. All the good news in the history of the church is due to the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's so true. The translation and the circulation of the Bible, God's Word, we can attribute to the work of God's Spirit. The Reformation, we can contribute to the work of God's Holy Spirit. Other moves of God in church history, like the Evangelical Revival to the revival of missions, we can contribute to the work of the Holy Spirit. The 1859 revival in Ireland and other notable awakenings across our world, we can contribute to the work of the Holy Spirit. These are all phases of this one Pentecost. One writer has written these words. He said, Pentecost contained all these in germ, and as Pentecost is studied and understood, it tends to repeat itself. But on the other hand, we must not separate out this day of Pentecost from all that has gone before, from the teaching of the prophets and the writings of the Old Testament, from the incarnation, from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, from his life or his teaching or his ministry or his resurrection or his death on the cross or his ascension. These incredible truths that came before Pentecost are all part of the gospel that we as a church proclaim. Luke gave us his gospel, the story of the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus, before he gave us the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We read in Acts 1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. When the day of Pentecost arrived, Peter on that very day would preach God's word. We read in Acts 2 verses 23 to 24 some of what he declared. He said, this Jesus delivered according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the proclamation of God's word would take off in a new way. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that had been long prophesied would be poured out on the church, fulfilling Scripture. This is so relevant for the church in this 21st century. The words of General William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, when he analysed the dangers of the 20th century, he said some things that are actually so much even more true for us in this 21st century. He named six dangers. Let me name them. He named religion without the Holy Spirit. He named Christianity without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. Politics without God. Heaven without hell. Now, there might be a sermon series for some of our parishes in the days that lie ahead. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the world into which the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 was a world in need of the Holy Spirit. A world that was in, as much in need then of the Holy Spirit as our world today is in need of a fresh move, a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon the people of God, upon the Church of God, and upon our nations in these days. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the wind of the Holy Spirit blew and the fire of the Holy Spirit fell. And that same wind and that same fire is needed in our churches today. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the 120 knew that they needed to obey and to wait on the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. They had been waiting for him to come. Then and now, earnest believing prayer is needed, just as it was needed then in the life of that early believing church. Then, and still now, repentance is necessary in order to become a disciple of Jesus, in order to become a follower of Christ. Our lifestyle will be transformed as we repent and as we believe the good news. Then, as now, the work of the Holy Spirit is a work that brings about purity of life and lifestyle. I want to remind the church in Down Under Moor today that he is the Holy Spirit. I love the testimony of Duncan Campbell. I love indeed so much by way of writings of that were written by people who experienced revival down through church history. And Duncan Campbell, writing about the revival that happened in the Outer Hebrides, in his book that's called The Price and Power of Revival, he said this. He said, after spending 17 years baffled and frustrated in Christian work, I suddenly came to realize that God made provision for clean hands and a pure heart. He goes on my face in my own study at 5 o'clock in the morning, I came to know the recovering power of the blood of Christ. I know that in some small measure, the revival in Lewis and later in Skye must be related to the experience of that morning. When the day of Pentecost arrived, it was the Holy Spirit that came upon the 120. Then and now, resolving to be those who would obey the word of God and follow the commandments of God and keep and be sustained by the promises of God, is something that you and I need to resolve in our hearts and in our lives. I want to share with you that long ago I resolved to stand on God's promises. I resolved to believe his word. In dark days, when all was dark and it was hard to think right, as I went through in my own personal life, grief and pain and loss, I resolved then, and I've resolved since, to stand on, to believe in, and to trust in the promises of God, and to build my life and to seek to lead a church that would build its witness and its work and its mission and its ministry on the Word of God. I'd like to take, if I may, just a couple of minutes this morning, and I'll try to be brief, to share with you just some of the ways that the Holy Spirit has worked in my life, ways that I hope will encourage you to invite him to work in the lives of our churches in these days. The Holy Spirit showed me very clearly as a young man how he was at work in the lives of others around me in a way that made their lives attractive, full of purpose, and different, in that they stood out. I now recognise that they were becoming those who were becoming more Christ-like. Back then, the Holy Spirit convicted me or showed me my own need to repent, the Holy Spirit enabled me to recognize that I was a sinful guy, a sinful man. And as I listened to God's word being preached and explained, I repented. I began to turn away from sin and to believe in Jesus Christ and to give my whole life to following Jesus as Lord. I experienced many, many years later something that I'd love to share with you. A deep work of God in my life when at a clergy retreat, sometime after I'd been widowed, I was a single dad at the time. I was in the throes of pain and grief and loss. And as we gathered in that, it was an upper room actually, and as we prayed, and as others prayed for us, and as others prayed for me, quite literally, and I exaggerate not, that room shook. That room shook as God's Holy Spirit ministered deep healing into my life and into the lives of others. Around that same time, when along with Bishop Ken, a group of us attended a church growth conference in Singapore, we listened to the rector of the church there, Canon Derek Hall, as he would hold his Bible at the beginning of each of his talks, and he would say, "This is the Word of God. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do." And as I went forward at the end of those talks to receive prayer, and on one occasion as I lay prostrate before the Lord on my face, I recognized that even self-pity, when we try to justify it and when we indulge in it, can become sinful. And such a deep work of God's Holy Spirit was worked in my heart and in my life that when I eventually stood up, I had a deeper love than ever for Jesus and a greater hunger for his word than I'd ever known. I was, quite truthfully, a different person. The Holy Spirit comes. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, all 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit. And soon many others around them would begin to repent and to believe. When people come to Christ and give their lives to Christ, as I trust many in churches across our diocese might consider doing this morning, the same word that Peter spoke applies to us as we come to Jesus for the first time to give our lives to him. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then, having come to Christ, as we go on all of our lives, all of our days, loving and following Jesus, the exhortation of Paul in Ephesians continues to be true for the remainder of our lives when he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the outworking of it all in verse 47, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's what we need to be praying for, asking for, crying out to God for, seeking for, and believing for in the life of today's church, in our diocese, in our nation, in our world. The Holy Spirit changes lives. The Holy Spirit brings about salvation in people's lives. And the church today continues and must increasingly continue to find ways to say clearly and lovingly and boldly and with welcome the words that Peter said, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." He is the Holy Spirit who calls us to become followers of Jesus, to become those who become like Jesus, who are transformed by the beauty of Jesus, who build our lives on the Word of God, who do the works of God, and who go on being all our lives filled with the Holy Spirit. Some dare to suggest that the church will disappear, overcome by the spirit of the age. But no, the Holy Spirit is stronger than the power of this age, and he's stronger than the power of any age. He transforms lives, he alters and brings transformation to communities. He brings about a new and a godly society when he moves in power. And he is the gift of God. He's actually God's gift to the church. He's the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified, and who has spoken through the prophets. And so, as we maybe this morning, some of you who are listening, surrender your life to Jesus, the Christ, for the very first time, or come to him afresh to be renewed and refreshed and filled again with his Holy Spirit, my prayer for myself is simply this: come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The late Canon David Watson is one of my heroes, and he left us with some great writings, and in his writings he left us with some beautiful prayers. And it's with one of his prayers that I want to finish this morning, and one of his prayers that I'd encourage you to make your own, so that this morning you can encounter the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit might encounter you. And so we pray. Please feel free to pray these words aloud, perhaps, or quietly in your heart today. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me and have given your Son for me. I am sorry for every way in which I have hurt you and grieved your Holy Spirit. I repent of everything in my life that I know is wrong. I confess these sins to you and humbly ask you to cleanse me from all sin. I give myself afresh to you. I want Christ to be Lord of every part of my life, my personal life, my family life, my social life, my work, my time, my money, my relationships, my ambitions, my all. I want to love you with all my heart. And now I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with new life, new love, new joy, and new strength. Fill every part of my being as humbly I claim the promise of your Son. Fill me that I may live and work to your praise and glory. Thank you, Father. I believe that you have heard my prayer. I praise you and worship you. Help me every day to go on being filled with your Holy Spirit more and more, that I may walk in your ways all the days of my life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you, and the Lord protect you in each one of your parishes, today and always. And may he go on filling you with his Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, give to the Church strength, wisdom, and judgment through the Holy Spirit. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. In this season of Pentecost, we pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our various parishes. Increase the power of preaching, that your Church may make the faith known to all nations. We pray for John, our Archbishop and Metropolitan, and the other church leaders. Grant them your daily help and build us up in faith and love. May we, who profess to follow Jesus, daily seek to know and serve him more. Release in your people the power of a living witness to the whole world, fulfilling your command to those who seek to follow you in truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, look with favor on the world you have made, which feels strange right now. Keep the nations under the shadow of your mercy in this time of uncertainty, separation, and loneliness. Send your Holy Spirit to show us our true needs in this time of crisis, and teach us to support and encourage one another without fear. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland and the Government, the First Minister, Deputy First Minister, and the Executive, and all in positions of responsibility, at home and abroad. Give them wisdom to make right decisions, courage to fulfill them, and perseverance to continue their efforts to promote the welfare of humanity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, grant us right judgment in our families and friendships and work. May we know your presence in every situation in these times of uncertainty and distress. Give us grace to reflect your love in our care for those with whom we share our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In particular, we continue to pray for Violet Howard and Walter Kelly. We pray as well for all who suffer from the coronavirus. Give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom in searching for a cure. Give your consolation to all who are bereaved.
We pray for Jean Bradford and Evelyn Whiteman following the passing of their sister.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember those who now rejoice in the perfect knowledge and unclouded vision of your nearer presence. May we who know and worship you imperfectly here come at last into the same eternal light. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Hymn 313, The Spirit Came as Promised.
Yeah.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All glory and honour, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. By the same Spirit we are led into all truth and given power to proclaim with boldness the glorious gospel to all the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Saviour Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Who in the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again, giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Saviour has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Faithful God, who fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Almighty God.
We thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The Spirit of truth lead you into all truth, give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the words and works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. We sing the hymn 303, Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing.
Free. No, we're in Christ to live and love and serve and
go in the peace of the risen Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
We thank you for being with us at this celebration of Pentecost. Our next online service will be Sunday next, Trinity Sunday at 10 o'clock. The service will follow the order of Holy Communion. Thank you.